Good evening, everyone. This is Gene Mack, and I'm coming to you on Blog Talk Radio on behalf of ComFest Radio. And that's brought to you by ComFest Global Community Film Festival at COMMFFEST Film Festival, ComFest Global Film Festival. And we're located here in the St. Louis Market area, and we hope everyone is having a great time tonight. The film festival that I talk about, ComFest, is a social and cultural film festival, and it deals with issues in the global community. That's all over. The film festival takes place every September between this year, between the 12th and 15th at the Rainbow Cinema on Front Street. The award-winning films are the film that will win an award. There will be several awards given out. The award is called MADA, and that's Make a Difference Award. It's the Make a Difference Award. And each year, the ComFest Festival bestows upon several filmmakers that award because their films make a difference in our community, in our society, and in our world. And I want to say that we've had a great week in sports, a really important week in sports, and there's been just as many miscellaneous things happen as there have been in the world of the major sports, which is, of course, baseball, basketball, football, and, of course, hockey. The Stanley Cup keeps rolling. The Stanley Cup tournament keeps rolling along, and right now, Pittsburgh is up 2-1 on Ottawa. Boston is up 3-0 on the Rangers. Chicago is down 2-1 to Detroit. Detroit is leading 2-1 in the series. And the Los Angeles Kings and the San Jose Sharks are tied 2-2. So you never know what's going to happen in the world of sports, but it seems like, well, all the picks that I chose so far are still in the running. I still think Chicago will come out over Detroit, but they got to pull up their socks because Detroit's been playing really well, and it's hard to beat a champion, and Detroit has proved year in and year out they're champions. But a lot of things happen in miscellaneous sports. Orb, the winner of the Kentucky Derby, finished third in the Preakness. The Preakness was won by Oxbow. That's O-X-B-O-W, like the famous movie. It was won by Oxbow. And it looks like Orb, even though he was considered the best horse, had not a chance because he didn't close, and Oxbow won going away. 15-1, by the way. So $100 on that one, boy, would have really bought us all home. In the world of soccer, two things happen. Well, three things happen. Toronto FC continues their winning ways by continuing to lose. I think they haven't won a game in the last nine. And it doesn't look like they're going to be winning anytime soon. Unfortunately, they've been playing a lot of close games, and they've been making one, maybe two mistakes, and losing. But they played well enough to be in the games last year, and they still lost. Another thing that happened in the world of soccer was David Beckham. And I know all of you know who David Beckham is. David Beckham is probably the reason that the MLS in America is still as popular as it is today. That's the league that the Toronto Football Club plays in. And the MLS, when they signed David Beckham, about 10 years ago, they instantly received credibility. They got star power because Beckham was a star at the time playing in Manchester, and he led them to instant success. I think they won at least three titles, the LA Galaxy. But Beckham has retired this past week, and after 21 years of soccer, he's unlacing his shoes and hanging them on the wall. Also, big in soccer was the New York Yankees and Manchester. That's right, New York Yankees and Manchester, the Manchester Football Club of England, have formed a cooperation, and they're going to field an MLS club. That's Major League Soccer, for those of you in America who watch it regularly. And I think it's going to be a great idea. The two most storied franchises in professional sports, the New York Yankees and Manchester, are forming a club together, and they got an automatic crosstown rival with the team that they already have in New York. So that'll be a good thing. But those are three of the most important things that happened in soccer this week, other than the fact that the FC, Toronto FC, keeps on losing, and that's just the way it is. Hey, was anybody watching the awards this week on TV? Now, all of you hip-hoppers and modern music people know who Miguel is. Miguel takes a running start, broad jumps the audience, and lands on a woman's head while singing a song. And he apologized. But that was the lamest roadkill thing I have ever seen in all the days of my life. You know, and this is how frivolous lawsuits begin. Because if the young fan wanted to give him a hard time, boy, he'd have to fork up some of that money he's being paid to entertain to pay this woman for smashing her head into the side of the stage. But I digress. It has nothing to do with sports, and it's not even close to being my sports rant this week. My sports rant might be Sergio and Tiger. They've been fighting tooth and nail, and Sergio took it one up by saying if he invited Tiger to his place, he'd fix him fried chicken. Thanks a lot, Sergio. We really needed that. Your true colors are beginning to show. Although this remark is not the first time Tiger has been offered fried chicken. Fuzzy Zeller, several years ago, when Tiger won his very first Masters, said to beware because that's what Tiger was going to cook, fried chicken, collard greens, and so forth and so on. Now, I don't know if Sergio had the same venom in his heart that Fuzzy Zeller had in his, but I do know it was an inappropriate comment. And even Sergio really realizes how important it is to own up to your mistakes, because within hours of making the statement, he apologized for it, said it was inappropriate. And within hours of hearing that, Tiger said he accepted his apology and felt that Sergio was sincere in apologizing. So what do we have? Two of golf's most controversial players, Sergio, who seems to always be in a row or be upset about something, and Tiger, whose sterling and sparkling character was tainted 5 years ago when he ran into trouble with that 5-iron his wife put on his head. Well, I think they might kiss and make up. Let's hope they do. You know, because Tiger doesn't need it, and Sergio, it only takes away from his game. See, when people are of drawing Tiger in and browbeating him and going after him verbally, it only gives him fuel to play better. And most people who understand him and know him realize that. That's the reason they don't talk about it. Anytime these announcers go after Tiger, Tiger takes it out on the golf course with a great round or a great week on the course. So now that he has won with the Players Championship, his fourth match this season, I think he might be ready to challenge the rest of the majors this year. And we still have the Open, which is British, the British Open. We still have the PGA, and we still have the U.S. Open. So it's no doubt in my mind Tiger's going to be out trying to win those. And there's no doubt in my mind he's got a good chance to win them all. Because, in fact, we might even have a Tiger Slam. You know, and not that I'm predicting that. I do predict Tiger will probably lead this season with at least six, perhaps seven victories. And when you're only playing 20 to 25 games, you're winning one quarter of your games. And one quarter is just about the amount of victories that Tiger has in his career. Out of every match he plays, he most times wins one out of four. And nobody, I repeat, nobody can match those numbers. So, a shout out to Tiger in his victory last week, week before last now. And Nadal moving on to another sport. In tennis, Nadal trounced Federer. And when I say trounced, I mean trounced. He beat him 6-1, 6-3, and I think it was the Rome Open. And it's not a big big open tournament, but it's a warm-up for the French, and the French will be coming up in the next week or so. And we want to send a shout-out to Ryder. And Ryder is the Canadian, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing this right. His doll. He was last year's winner of the Giro d'Italia. And this year he had to fall out of the tournament, or he dropped out of the race. This year he dropped out. And it was because of a multitude of things. He was injured earlier in the race. As you know, the Italian and most European tour bike races last 2 or 3 weeks. And because of lack of effort and the desire to continue to go on because of injuries, he decided it was time to drop out. Now, being last year's winner and being a Canadian, we were all cheering for him, but unfortunately, that's how it goes. Another big thing happened in sports this week that we all should know about and that we all should care about is that, and this is the first of many times we're going to talk about it, but the Toronto Raptors, they decided to change general managers, and Brian Colangelo is no longer the general manager of the Toronto Raptors. And out of the 7 years he was with the club, he had two that were pretty good years, although they didn't win a playoff series. They did get into the playoffs. I never liked any of his draft choices, including this one this year. But you can always say it was because I didn't have a top choice. Well, he had a top choice once, and he brought us home Andrea Bargnani, and I rest my case. He wouldn't have done anything with it if he'd have had a top choice. Because Andrea Bargnani, I do not understand when you take a North American sport that was founded by a Canadian, and he took it to the U.S., instilled it in the university system down there while he was at Kansas, and became and still remains one of the most popular sports in North America and in the world, which is basketball. When you take a North American founded sport and you go all over the world to pick the best non-NBA player, and you pick a guy that's 7 foot, and that's all he is. Everybody says he's got talent, and he doesn't use his talent, and they wish he would wake up and play to his capabilities all the time. Well, maybe he is playing to his capabilities more so than not, because the bottom line is, if you can do something, you do it. If you can't do something, you don't do it. He is not playing well. He has never played well. When you take a year's contribution, it's never a top number in any category. He's not a great rebounder. He's not a great defender. He's a pretty good shooter, but he doesn't make a lot of shots. And they go and they say, well, in last month, he shot 40% and he averaged 19 points and 6 rebounds. Well, that was 1 month. The season is 8 or 6, however many months it is. But to be able to do it for 1 month and then not be able to do it the next, is that you not measuring up to your capabilities? Are you lowering or falling down to your capabilities? Which is it? Everyone wants to think it could be better, but it could be worse. He could be playing over his head that month. But the bottom line, the proof is in the pudding. And year after year, his numbers are no more than average. And he was the number one lottery draft pick of Colangelo's time here. And I'm not sold on his capabilities at all. And every time Colangelo says, well, he has this this innate ability and all it has to do is come out and be shown and he has to finally become consistent. No, he doesn't. He can play mediocre basketball the rest of his life, and he'll still be around here trying to sell spaghetti. Well, that's my rant on Colangelo. I'm not glad he's gone. I'm glad he's not general manager anymore. And he is really not gone, because they find positions for... See, it's one thing about MLS, Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. They don't like to pay you and fire you. They find something else for you to do. If you're a race car driver, they put you out front to sell tires. If you're a general manager in basketball, they kick you upstairs so you can answer phones and tell people how good we're going to be the next year. If you're a GM in hockey, they put you in the scouting room to evaluate talent. And Burke was able to handle or stand that for only about 2 months. And he ran screaming into the night back to the West Coast, saying, let me get the hell out of here. Because if you are a professional at what you do, and you've been doing it for 20, 30, sometimes in some cases 40 years, you do not want to be a Joe come lately. That's Johnny's brother, Joe lately. Okay? Now, before I forget, I want to brand my program again. This is Comfest Radio, and it's brought to you by Comfest Global Community Film Festival. And every year we have a film festival down here at the St. Lawrence Market area. This year the films will be at the Rainbow Cinema, which is on Front Street. Most of you know that there's a Rainbow Cinema in almost every neighborhood. Ours is on Front Street. right across from the St. Lawrence Market. And we hope each and every one of you come out as we speak. If you have a film and you want to find out how to get it into the festival, all you have to do is go online to Comfest Global Community Film Festival.com. And they will give you all the information and you'll be able to contact and talk with someone. Talk with someone who will be able to tell you what you have to do to get in the film festival. Each year they also have an award called the MADA Award, Making a Difference Award. And it's given to the filmmaker or bestowed upon the filmmakers, plural, that do the most to bring an issue to the forefront of the community and to allow people a capacity of seeing what is going on in communities around the world. Now, if you want to find out information about how to get a film in, or at least get a film into the evaluation and viewing process, all you got to do is go online to comfest.com. You don't need the film festival community on the end of it. All you need is comfest.com. And it'll also give you some information about the film festival, and you can peruse the website and see if you might want to be involved, and because they need volunteers. All events and functions need volunteers. In fact, I've been a volunteer at TIFF on more than one occasion. But we hope you enjoy the festival, and we hope you, if you have a project, we hope you get your project out and so it can be viewed by the judges and see if it can be in the festival. Other things that happened this week, besides what's going on in hockey and in the soccer world and Tiger's argument, for lack of a better term, with Sergio, was the basketball. Miami and Indiana kick off their series tonight to see who's the winner of the East. And as you know, Memphis and San Antonio have been playing, and Memphis is behind or down 2-0 to San Antonio. So it looks like San Antonio is well on their way to becoming the Western Conference champion, and will be vying with whoever wins the Indiana-Miami series for the NBA championship. Personally, I think it's going to be Memphis to come back and square the series, because they're going home to play starting tomorrow night. And I think the San Antonio-Memphis series is a toss-up, even though Memphis is down 2-0. Because Memphis is such a committed, hard-working, diligent team that they just will not give up, or not give up easy. So I don't see San Antonio just walking over them. If you can remember in the last series, the Los Angeles Clippers led Memphis 2-0 before they went back to Memphis. And you know how that turns out. Now, so far as Miami and Indiana is concerned, if Indiana takes it farther than sixth, I would be very much surprised. I don't think Miami is going to allow anything more than one or two victories. Now, what we're going to talk about now is what's going on in the world of hockey. What happened to the Canadian contingent that went to the IIHF? Again, they finish out of the medals. I don't know. These NHL players who don't make the Stanley Cup tournament, They go over there and they lose consistently every year. Maybe they should be trying to send the young kids over there, winners of the American Hockey League or something, or an all-star team from the American Hockey League, or somebody, because as I see it, the NHL players don't have any desire to actually put it on the line to win. And those Europeans, they want to beat Canada. As I was about to say, Canada. But the NHL players, they just don't seem to want it, man. And I don't understand why. Oh, before I forget, a shout-out to Quinville, Joel, to McLean, Ottawa, and to Boudreaux, Anaheim, Joel being from Chicago, because they're the candidates for the Jack Adams Trophy. And anyone who follows hockey on a regular basis knows the Jack Adams Trophy is given out to the Coach of the Year. And all three of them, and there's a few more that could be added also, went out and did their organizations proud by really. McLean did a superb job, a stellar job, you know, in maneuvering and coaching Ottawa into the playoffs with all the injuries they had all year to key players. Quinville got a point in over 30 consecutive games. A single point, but a point nevertheless in 30 consecutive games. And Anaheim stayed with them tooth and nail right up until the end of the season. And Boudreaux fared well in guiding his team to a really high point total this year. Now, the only problem is that Boudreaux didn't do well in the playoffs. He was gone in the first round, but that's life. And here's breaking news. I'm sure most of you have heard about it already, and most of you know about it. But Alain Vigneault, the coach of the Vancouver Canucks, was fired today. Now, is that his fault? Or is that Gillis's fault? Because he could have surely used a sentiment, but Gillis waited around, played around, flopped around, duped around, and just generally refused to get anything for Luongo or take anything for Luongo. He wanted two palaces and a Rolls Royce, and they were offering much less than that. I think it was a covered wagon and a shed. But the bottom line is he put Vigneault into a bind with his inability to find him another sentiment. And another thing I'd like to say, up the middle where Vancouver is supposed to have their strength, they have very little. But I don't think the Sedin twins are the answer. I just don't. And that's an unfortunate thing. But I think a good coach lost his job today, but I don't think he was the coach to get them back to the Stanley Cup anyway. But that's neither here nor there. One of the things that will be queried over the next 4 or 5 days is Dwight Howard. Where is Dwight Howard going? Is he going to stay with the Lakers? Is he going to move? Does he think D'Antonio is his kind of coach? He said time and time again he's not. Del Negro was kicked out of Los Angeles. And who are the Clippers going to hire after they've let Del Negro go? Who knows? But the bottom line is there's only one way to find out what Dwight Howard is going to do. Find out who will kiss his behind the most, and that's where he'll be. Because I don't think he's going to be with the Lakers. Although I don't think D'Antoni is the right coach, I do know that Dwight Howard is a coach killer. And I wouldn't trust him if he swore on something on the stack of Bible. You know, everywhere he's been, he seemed to left because they didn't know how to play him or they couldn't use him properly. And all I've seen him do is miss a lot of free throws. And if he can't dunk the ball, he can't play basketball. His low post game is as weak as it gets. Being strong, powerful, and tall doesn't mean anything when you're playing against committed, dedicated, hardworking guys who want to shut you down. And they love shutting down Howard. Well, I've had a great week this week, and I thank you. Have a good evening, and it's been a pleasure. Good night.